Please pray with me. Lord Christ, come. Lord Christ, turn our eyes to you, and may we watch. Amen. You may be seated. The psalmist prays, "Restore our hearts, O God. Show us the light of your countenance, that we might be made whole." Isaiah, did you catch it at the beginning? Isaiah cried out, "Rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down." And St. Paul says it simply, we wait. We wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we begin again, the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent marks the beginning of our year, of our yearly walk through the life of Christ and the work of God. But at this day of beginnings, our scriptures aren't having us look to the past, but having us look ahead. And if we missed it in the Psalm and in Isaiah, if we missed St. Paul, then we hear it clearly in the gospel. What I say to you, this is the last verse of our gospel for this morning. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Watch, as many translations have it. Or back a few verses to verse 33 of our gospel. Be on guard. Watch. For you do not know when the time will come. Jesus tells us this morning that we are to be like servants whose master has gone away. We don't know where the master has gone, but that doesn't seem relevant. What is relevant is that he is gone. He has left servants at home. He's charged them to take care of things in his stead. And he's told them to stay awake, to watch. It is worth noting that just one chapter earlier in the Gospel of Mark, we get a very similar parable. It's a bit longer, but it's similar. In Mark 12, Jesus tells of a farmer. He grows grapes. He's got a vineyard that he leases to some tenants. We've come to call these the wicked tenants. These tenants watch, but they don't watch so that they might rejoice in their master's return. They watch so that they might beat, even kill, whoever comes in the name of their master. They watch, but they're really looking out for themselves. They watch with fear. They watch with pride. They watch for how they might get ahead. But today we get a very simple parable, one verse. Verse 34. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Likely when we hear this parable, it's helpful to keep the parable of the wicked tenants in mind. We notice that the wicked tenants watched, but what were they looking for? Where were their eyes? Now, the context of these parables help us to narrow this question a bit. The, The parable of the wicked tenants is given to a crowd, seems to be directed at the high priests and the scribes. Our brief parable is given to a select few. Peter, James, and John are there, Mark tells us at the beginning of chapter 13. This parable is first for them, the disciples of the Lord. How will they watch? And there is another difference. In our parable this morning, we hear that the master goes away. We don't know what happens next. In the parable of the wicked tenants, we learn what happens. The wicked tenants watch, and they beat and they kill whom they find. What will happen to Peter, James, Andrew, and John? When Jesus is not with them, will they stay awake? This parable doesn't give us the answer, but Mark's gospel soon does. In the very next chapter, Jesus prays alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour?" Early the next morning, warming himself by a fire, Peter does seem to watch. He's followed Jesus to his trial. He's standing right outside in the courtyard. The arrest in the garden hasn't chased him away. He's there, waiting for news. He's watching until he isn't. When pressed, his eyes turn inward. In fear, he looks for ways to save himself. Now we could, to great benefit, trace out Peter's story, how he does come to watch. And I commend you to do that. But this morning, instead, let's turn this question to ourselves. And again, returning to our gospel, returning to the words Jesus has for us this morning, this seems precisely what he wants us to do. Consider again the last line. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch. This has been a good question for me to think on this last week. How do I watch for the return of the Master? This is a good Advent question for us to take into the next few weeks. And thankfully, as it usually does, our scriptures give us guidance. They instruct us on how we are to watch. Let's go back to our gospel again. Consider verse 35. So right after Jesus tells this brief little parable, he says, "Therefore, stay awake." So the parable is now a command. It's turned into a command. Stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. We are to watch unceasingly. Our Lord might meet us at any moment. We should be ever expecting, ever prepared. For we do not know when he will come. This makes me think of the parable of the prodigal son. We know this. The son has left home and squandered his wealth. no one knows when the Son will come back. And yet, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The father was ever watching, ever waiting, not so that he might have justice served, but ever looking for his son so that he might embrace him. Do we watch like the Father? Consider again Psalm 80 with me. The psalm moves through a variety of themes. It begins with petition, and then recounts God's goodness. It even recognizes sin, and then there's a moment where the psalmist questions God. And yet, spaced throughout each of these movements is the refrain, this wonderful refrain, "Restore us again, O God. Show us the light of your countenance that we might be made whole." Regardless of what life brings, the psalmist is ever looking for the face of the Lord. Ever praying, "Let us see the light of your countenance." And this prayer is a good one for us to space throughout our days. Restore us again, O God. Show us the light of your countenance, that we might be made whole. It's an easy prayer to say while driving, while walking to class, while doing dishes. Show us the light of your countenance. When our watching is praying, we are less likely to be watching as the wicked tenants did, and looking after ourselves. Watch for the Lord. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, says that watching and praying are so intimately connected that no prayer is Christian without this element of watching, of looking for the Lord who is to come. Does your prayer look for the Lord who is to come? And so we can watch in prayer. We can watch unceasing in our prayer. But we can also watch in our work. Recall again our little parable. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his own work, commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. The master gives the servants work to do. He gives them authority. Might we not say that good work done unto the master is a form of watching for him? Look for the work that he has for you. What he wants you to learn. How he wants you to grow. Watch for him in your work. Or ask of your work, whether it is study or writing or caring for children or talking with students, ask, "Is this the work that he has given me to do? Does this work glorify him? Does this work expect him to show up?" The past months, the last prayer of our liturgy has been so encouraging to me. For here we pray as that we are sent out by the Father, and we pray that we would be sent out to do the work he's given us to do. Because there is work that he has prepared for us. And when we find this work, when we do this work, we love and serve him as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. Or think again to that beautiful line from Isaiah 64. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Does our work flow out of the work that he has done in us? We can watch unceasingly. We can watch through our work. But finally, we should watch together. Again, our gospel. The last line, what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Watching is something for us all to do together. Watching is a communal act. And I think it's best pictured right now on Sunday mornings. When we gather together, we are taught how to watch. We're told what to watch for. We pray the words of our liturgy and we learn how to turn our eyes beyond ourselves and to our Master. As we walk through the Christian year, we learn to look for how Christ lived. We watch him as he walks through his last week to the cross. We eagerly look for his resurrection. We wait for his Spirit to come. Each year we are taught how to watch. And we gather together on Sundays around his table to be sustained by him. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, to the end, sustained by him. This time that we have together on Sunday mornings, when we are all looking in the same direction, this time is invaluable for our lives. When I lived in Boston, my priest there would unabashedly say from the pulpit, "My dear folk, your place is in church. We are to watch together. We are to watch in our work. We are to watch unceasing in our prayer." Advent is a time for attentiveness, for staying awake, for watching for the Lord to come in a manger or on the clouds or all those times in between when he will draw near. So watch, pray for the light of his countenance, that his face might shine upon you, that we might see his face. For then we will be made whole. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.